On your floor, on your back. Notice where you start listening or paying attention, giving attention first. But certainly there's a shift, there's some sort of a change of where your attention goes, not to activity or preparation, but to kind of assessing in a way the moment. And before we can assess the moment, that means assess what is happening or compare, we need to arrive. And that arrival can happen differently on different occasions, different moments. It can happen through, first of all, realizing, I'm like, whoa, I can stop. And then when we arrive to a particular moment, not to some abstract thought of, but it's something that is findable through concrete evidence, sensations that can be the sensations of settling back. And so sensations can be sensations of a process rather than sensations of a fixed something. It could be a fixed something. How does your pelvis lie? How do the shoulders lie? Can you compare the left and right side of the pelvis and its contact with the floor, or the left and right shoulder and its contact with the floor? But beyond the comparison of what is, there's the changing in response to the attention. And could be that your breath, the movement of your breathing is what brings you to this moment, or the sensations in particular, again, of a change. Usually when we notice something about the mouth, the jaw, the tongue, the roof of the mouth, you realize how much just bringing attention to an area, there's an immediate response. Oh yes, well, of course. Some kind of softening. And that's a process then in the present moment, around the eyes, behind the eyes. Or even in the hands, the wrists, the palms of the hands, the way the fingers lie. And yes, the contact of each heel with the ground, the back of each calf. And you can compare and contrast or just arrive. You can assess or simply arrive to the sensations. The back of each knee, the back of each thigh, the non-contact in the lower back, or perhaps even above the waist, probably above the waist. Behind the neck, behind the upper back. And then a conclusion in a way than a set of sensations. Does it feel like one or the other shoulder is for sure in the back, some part is touching, but does it feel like there's a forward pulling or forward or coming forward of one shoulder or the other? And where might you feel that? Somewhere between the tip, the front of each shoulder, and across the top of the chest to the breastbone, over the above the breasts, below the collarbones. And roll your head from one side to the next and note whether it's smoother or easier to in one direction, simpler. Roll only to the degree that it is as simple in one direction as it is to the other, which might then change the amount of rolling. And you might find that in a funny way, even the middle isn't really like some kind of geometric middle, but the place from which you roll to the left and the place from which you roll to the right is kind of off to one side already. So let that be. Things change. This will change too. Perhaps note how the edge, the back edge of one ear, where it arrives in relation to the floor and where the other one arrives. What is that called, that upper edge? Not the lobe. I don't know what that other part is called. The long part of the C of the ear. And leave it, and slowly roll to your left side. And lie with your knees slightly bent, with the right one, of course, on top of the left. And you can put something under your head and make it such that it's not quite as high as you would need if you were to have a nap or if you were to sleep, something a little bit lower, because you'll see as the head rolls, it's good to not be supported so high. And the two arms are lying on top of each other in front, shoulder height, the right palm resting some more or less on the left one. And slowly, as you lift your whole right arm in such a way that the right hand goes to the ceiling, follow the hand with your eyes. So open your eyes and follow it with your eyes and let your head roll. Just go to wherever it is comfortable without strain, and yes, to the ceiling. So it's kind of an arc, describing an arc in space. And it's to the ceiling, and then further, what we call that direction. It's backwards, it's to the right. And how far can you go that it's easy for the shoulder, easy for the breathing? And that your right knee doesn't lift away from the left one. Or if it does, it's just very light. And there's no strain in the right side of the pelvis, the right hip joint. And just note to where it goes. And then pause a moment, lying on the left side. And bring your right hand toward the ceiling, and only to the ceiling, so not backward, just to the ceiling, and leave it there. You can look at it. And then lengthen as if you wanted to get a little bit closer to the ceiling with the fingertips, and then let the arm unlengthen. So the elbow doesn't bend, and this is kind of a question. What is it that's possible? The elbow doesn't bend. Head stays restful. And you may notice that as the hand reaches to the ceiling, the shoulder blade, the inner edge of the shoulder blade, wherever you can imagine it or sense it, goes away from the floor and towards the floor. So just the shoulder, it's like the shoulder blade moving is what lengthens and shortens the arm. The fingers are long but soft. And again, bring your right arm to rest on the left front. And bring the right hand again towards the ceiling. The arm is long. Look at it. With the arm, so it's more or less perpendicular to the floor, isn't it? Perpendicular to the floor, perpendicular to the ceiling. And now turn the arm like a kind of like a rolling pin around its axis. So the palm, right? Palm is facing. Usually for most people, it faces first forward, and then let it face backward. And it just has to face forward. It doesn't have to turn so that it faces upward, right, to the wall above your head, just behind you and in front of you. And again, the elbow stays soft but long. And as you rotate the arm, is it possible that here also the shoulder blade is involved? And that perhaps as the palm turns backward, which way does the shoulder go? So how shoulder blade, shoulder, I'm using the words in a rather scattered manner because the shoulder is something in the front, the shoulder is something in the middle, the shoulder is something in the back. Yeah, so perhaps you can find that when the palm of the hand rotates backward, the front of the shoulder comes forward, and the back of the shoulder blade lifts away from the floor so that as the palm turns behind, the arm gets longer. And then as the palm turns forward, the front of the shoulder kind of goes a little bit backward, and the shoulder blade behind drops towards the floor, and therefore the arm as it turns gets once shorter away from the ceiling and once longer. And we'll notice if, as you do that a few more times, if in addition to that there's some movement in the chest. So you can really let the shoulder come forward. If you let the shoulder come forward a lot as the palm turns backward, do you feel that you roll the tiniest little bit on the ribs on the left side? It's possible to become so attentive to and mesmerized by movement on the right side that the left side recedes into some unfelt or unconsidered background. So actually let yourself really roll forward, really, really roll forward as the right shoulder comes forward, and then roll backward a little bit. That's it. Really, really roll forward. Even if you lose sight of your hand a little bit, that's it. So that the shoulder, the front of the shoulder makes the largest movement forward and back. Yes. And then if you don't stay so fixed on having to see the hand as the palm goes backward, you'll find that your head rolls more and maybe your breath becomes lighter, because as more of us becomes part of the movement, everything's more congruent. And when everything's more congruent, it feels better, and therefore breath is freer. That's it. Great. And rest again on your side. Bring the arm forward. And as you did at the very beginning, follow your hand with your eyes and take it to the ceiling and back. And let your head roll wherever it starts, let it roll from there rather than pick it up. If you feel like you don't have enough under your head to allow that, then add something. But just notice to where you can take the arm easily, how your chest rolls, what the feeling is like through the back, from between the shoulder blades, downwards towards below the bra strap, towards the waist, through to the pelvis, especially on the right side, and whether it's a little bit clearer how it is that the right knee can rest as the chest and the hand and the arm turn. And whether you can experience more clearly how much you actually roll on the left side, on the shoulder, and then a little bit on the left side of your back, maybe even some ribs on the left side,
That's it. Or perhaps the arc itself is smoother, as if see the eyes follow the hand, but the more smoothly the hand moves, the more smoothly the eyes will move. The more smoothly the chest moves, the more smoothly the eyes will move. And leave it, roll to your back. Roll to your back. Any difference in how the right side of your chest, the shoulders, the back, pelvis, or even the leg lies, or how the side of your right side of your neck or face compared to the left? Is one leg longer, perchance, or one arm, or airier, fluffier? Sometimes people say it's fluffier. And roll your head from side to side. And if you recall, compare if there's a difference from the start. More particularly, perhaps in one direction. Let your head find a resting point somewhere, neither left nor right. And would you again? Roll to your left side. Bend your knees as before. And bring your right arm to the ceiling and just take it back. Put a little bit more of your head support behind, yeah. So that when you start, and at the very moment when you lift your right arm, listen to the left side of your head where you are already lying. That's it. And just roll right, lovely, in the back of the head. And the fingers can be long but easy, long but easy. And one way that we compensate, to put a word for not being able to turn more in the chest but wanting to take the arm further back. There are two ways. One is to do more in the shoulder, in which case that could become uncomfortable. And another is to actually not keep the hand at the height of the shoulder. So it's another thing to pay attention to, that the hand doesn't migrate downward towards the pelvis. And then next time that you lift your arm, just take the arm to the back and actually keep looking forward. Just keep looking forward, so listen carefully, because that's a whole different movement. And then bring the arm forward and roll your head to the right and look over to the right. And so the movement of, yeah, that's right, so the arm and the head and eyes go opposite. So when you're looking forward, the arm goes back. And when the arm goes forward, the head goes back, and the movement is more limited, isn't it? Smaller. So, but keep the weight of the head, on the floor or on your support, and just roll it. That's it. And notice when you bring the arm forward, is it just from the shoulder joint, Or you're remembering about the shoulder blade. And as you go back, you're remembering about the shoulder blade. Mm-hmm. And lightly and easily. And don't take it to the point where you feel that you're... Good. And then bring your head forward and your arm all the way forward so that the right hand rests on the left. And then take the hand, the arm, the eyes, and the head together to the ceiling and back behind. And when they all go together, is it anything easier or lighter about it than before? And the next time that your arm is behind and your head is rolled to the right and your eyes are to the right, leave your arm backward where it's possible and just roll your head left and right. So your head and the eyes. And when does your arm tend to go a little bit closer to the floor? When your head is rolled to the left or when your head is rolled to the right? Continue to breathe. And then leave your head to the right, the arm to the right, and just take your eyes softly to the left, slowly, the eyes to the left and to the right. And notice whether even taking just the eyes to the left begins to take the arm a little bit away from the floor, begins to try to turn the head to the left. And then when the eyes go to the right, does the head and the shoulder and the chest settle a tiny bit more to the right? If the shoulder blade rests a bit closer to the floor, how much our eyes have to do with where they are has to do with what happens through the shoulder, through the base of the neck, through the chest. And then bring everything, the head, the eyes, and the arm, to lie on the left side. And again, slowly roll to your back. Notice if there are additional differences between the right and the left sides of you. Do you feel anything different in the way the chest or the belly expands or settles as you breathe? As if one lung was perhaps freer than the other, less restricted somehow. Do you feel any different in your face or eye or cheek? If you wish, you can even open your eyes and see if there's something different about the way that you see with the left or with the right. how the left back, the left and the right upper back and shoulder area lies compared to the right, or the right compared to the left. The length of each arm, each leg even. Perhaps even the feeling of the tongue and the roof of the mouth, on the left and right, in the region of the back. And if you'd like to compare a bit more in a different circumstance, just slowly come to stand. And just the first impressions of how you stand on the right leg, how you stand on the left, the way each arm hangs. You can maybe shift your weight very slightly, not hugely, but slightly, not enough to actually lift the opposite leg, but just enough to say, yes, I'm more on one leg than the other. Feel whether one feels clearer, more stable, or more alive somehow. There's quite a learning in putting words to what we sense, and to find a way to put the words that they don't stop, limit, or distort the experience. So you don't have words. You don't have words, but you can go more on the side of preference and emotion. Right? You prefer, which side could you stand on longer? We don't have to justify our preferences for, sometimes we do, but mercifully not all the time. And then just turn as if you're looking around yourself to the, but keep the feet on the floor. So turn with the eyes, turn to look, right? Turn to look. And the number of ways of listening to looking. One is, of course, the sensations of comfort, but the other is the eyes on the horizon. Usually when we can no longer turn comfortably, our eyes will either look downward or upward. So to where can you turn easily? In which direction? Is it smoother? Doesn't stop breathing. And then stop in the middle and lift your right arm upward, just kind of forward in front and above, and you can look at it as well and feel what that feels like in terms of lightness or ease, and then the left one. And yeah, you can bring both up and see if one's become longer. Yeah. All right. And then you can take a few steps and walk around, or simply lie on the floor. And when you lie, do lie on the right side. Occurred to me that in the life of getting things done, thought kind of has, in a way, some thought has to be here in the moment, but there's a lot of thought that goes ahead and into planning, and it's kind of interesting to lie down and have thought move at the speed of sensation and observation rather than at the speed of accomplishment, speed needed for planning accomplishment. And bring your, of course, left hand to the ceiling. Open your eyes, follow it with your eyes, and just see, or feel rather, see the hand. You feel how you turn to your left, to where the arm goes. And listen for the moments where your head no longer rolls, but somehow you shift it, right? So there may be moments where you slide your head on the floor or on the support rather than let it roll. So in that moment of sliding, see if you can, rather than slide, you can let it roll. Maybe that will needs to have a different accompaniment of the eyes. I don't know. And the movement of the eyes in relation to the hand can serve to smooth out the movement of the whole arm, the chest, the head. And it reflects the places. So where the eyes jump, somewhere in the spine or the chest or something else has jumped. And it may not later, so just notice the jumpy places. And you don't want to control them in a way. To notice them. But you do want to notice where you might slide your head and in a way, not so much control that impulse, but see if you can not give in to it, right, and actually roll. Yeah. And settle on your right side for a moment. And there's again, a process when I say the word rest, and you let the hand, the left hand pause, the left arm pause, the left hand rest on the left, that there's a settling process. So rest is sort of code word for settle into gravity so that you can start afresh in the movement. Most of the time we not only put too much effort into an action, we don't stop the effort when the action is completed. And then when we start a new action, we have to add more power onto it. We sort of like accumulate sludge in a way. So bring your arm just to the ceiling now. Just to the ceiling, left arm to the ceiling. Your head can roll however much or little it needs. The left arm is just to the ceiling, not any further back, and just kind of perpendicular to the floor, more or less. And then lengthen the arm to the ceiling, lengthen the arm to the ceiling, and let it drop back. Notice which way your palm is facing, and you can let it be there for a moment. And let it still be there. Let it be where it is. Just notice where it is. And feel whether, in spite of that, you're already listening to the shoulder blade, in spite of the fact that the arm is not turning. And then you can begin rotating the arm around itself like a long, tall, perpendicular, thin cylinder. And you may notice that as the palm turns to look first in the direction over your pelvis and then behind, that the left shoulder can come forward. And you don't have to keep looking at your hand, especially when the shoulder comes forward. If you really listen to the front of the shoulder, front of the shoulder as you go forward, you'll probably roll, the whole chest will roll on the right side, onto the right shoulder, onto the ribs. Your head will, might roll on the cheek or onto the brow, or even the nose will come. You feel your face going towards the ground and feeling a bit compressed. And then the back, in the back, the inner edge of the shoulder blade may moves away from the floor. You might even feel that it moves away from the spine, from your middle. And then when the palm rotates forward again, and the arm, the hands move away from the ceiling, that you roll backward, the front of the shoulder moves back in space, as well as back to the floor. So the inner edge of the shoulder blade, which you might feel or not, but it drops back to the floor, and you might feel now or at some other point that it actually goes also a little bit closer to your midline, to the spine, or perhaps you're more aware of the ribs on the below the armpit on the left side. If somebody had their hand on those ribs, the wide ribs, how would their hand travel? Mm-hmm. And maybe even a very slight, small shifting of weight on the right side of your pelvis. And the head continues to roll rather than be shifted until you begin to notice more and more the quality, once the components, right? You listen to all the components, you have the notes, and then the quality of how they play together, how they roll together, how they soften, how the moment of reversing from being forward to going back, from being back, going forward. Set. Good. And then bring your left arm to rest forward again on the right hand. The left hand rests on the right palm. And with your eyes open, bring your left hand to the ceiling and beyond, backward or to the left, whichever way you. Maybe there are no words, right? You don't need words once it's a felt and experienced. You don't need the word anymore. Just notice whether there's something pleasurably different. And it may or may not be related to the distance that you go. It may have more to do with places I haven't mentioned. Maybe it has to do with the softness in the belly, the belly button, or even below, down to the groins, or across the chest in the front, from the front of one shoulder to the front of the other. Or not even places, but a whole quality of smoothness, as if bones or whatever it is just kind of flowing or cascading. And roll to your back. This sort of attention really reveals us to ourselves as if under a microscope. It's like whole worlds become apparent. It's not just that we see the same world with more detail, but it's as if new ways of seeing emerge. And there is a part of seeing what we know about with more detail as well. And attention can begin to feel like a capacity that magnifies, like a bowl of porridge, right? The endless bowl of porridge that is just more and more of it. That attention generates a capacity for more attention with less effort. We can have effort in movement, we can have effort in attention, we can have effort in thought. And would you please roll to your right side again? With, of course, the two arms forward, the left hand resting on the right. And even that simple thing, it might be in the beginning, when one hand rests on the other, it can't quite reach. It's not as though the heel of the hand is touching the heel of the hand below it. But as the lesson and explorations progress, you may find that the fingertips, the pads of the fingers can touch more clearly in their mirror self-to-self places. And a number of times now, take your arm to the ceiling, and then from there, so take the left arm to the ceiling and leave it there. And then from there, take the arm further back, but your head forward. And then the arm forward and the head back. That means really head to the left. And really listen that you roll the head. That some people will have a tendency to slide the head. Slide the head. But if it rolls, if your head rolls, if your head really rolls, that means it's not turning in the same spot, but it's rolling onto a different spot on the floor. See, your head's having a tendency to turn in the same spot. Your head is having a tendency to turn in the same spot. So there you go. Now that's rolling. Exactly. 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 And then, yes, voila, voila. I don't know. It's somehow, you know, same words being repeated. But at some point they sink in. And then, yeah, so then why? Why? Well, we'll get there in a moment. Why? Perhaps it's good to know why, perhaps not. But is the shoulder, is this kind of a thing between the arm and the head? Or what happens with the shoulder? Does the shoulder go back as the arm goes back? And does the shoulder come forward as the arm comes forward? And the shoulder blade reach forward. Ah, it can. Then maybe your head will roll a little bit less. So clearly the movement, if the movement of the head and the arm are opposite, then where does the shoulder go? Does the shoulder go with the head or does the shoulder go with the arm? You can experiment. Take a pause for a moment.
And bring your left arm to the ceiling and then backward. And you can take your head with you and leave your arm behind. And roll just your head and the eyes to the right, away from the arm, and then towards the arm. And does the left shoulder and the left arm, do they settle further backward, leftward, depending on which way your head rolls? So really roll, that's it, roll your head. So there's something about rolling the head speaks to the vertebra just at the base of the neck, that turning the head doesn't quite catch them. And then stay with your head rolled to the left and your eyes looking to the left. And just take your eyes to the right and then to the left again. Just the eyes. So your head stays left. Just the eyes. Continue to breathe. Keep the right shoulder easy. Keep the belly easy. The lower back. Is it possible that the left shoulder and arm settle back to the floor even a little bit more when the eyes go to the left, and unsettled, shall we say, when the eyes go to the right or the head? That's it. Maybe you can even feel the distance from the left fingertips to the right fingertips, kind of through the whole middle of yourself. Yeah. Good. And then gently bring your head, eyes, arm to lie on the right side. And one more time, take your head, your eyes, your left arm, the shoulder, backward, leftward. See if something has become more further clear, coordinated, smooth, lighter. If parts have found a place within this movement that are surprising, or so attention, right? Our attention can go seeking specific areas or specific relationships, but at a certain point what happens is when the relationships become much more alive, awake, and alert, we can't help but notice them. Good. Leave it. Roll to your back. So in words, when we are in daily life and we feel our discomforts or downright pains, in words we fix them, right? The words represent our thoughts, and we're fixed. I have this, or this is like that. And maybe then on top of that, we've had professionals give us their opinion of what the problem is. This is out, or that is tight. While in a process like this, we can find how malleable what we think is, how malleable the isness is. In other words, that how much what we think is isn't. Somewhere there's a quote by Moshe, which I will paraphrase and
not too eloquently probably, which is that said that the thing that binds us the most is our thoughts that things are so. And it's, what is a thought? A thought is a fixing of something into a permanent reality. And yet to in the middle or towards the end of an awareness through movement where you discover the malleability of everything, of the experience, of the tightnesses, of the abilities. That we discover the fluidity of the positive aspect of impermanence. You know, so how can we use impermanence to our advantage? So compare left and right if you haven't. You maybe have just been kind of floating, and that's fine. Or don't compare, just feel the whole, your whole self. And roll your head from side to side to note see when the head and the shoulders and the arm are so specifically in the middle back are so specifically explored, then once you're just lying there and turning your head, all the parts that were fixed in the lower neck and upper back, kind of across the top of the shoulders, become more fluid so the rolling of the head can use those vertebrae and go even down lower and use some vertebrae in the chest so you might feel some shifts in the shoulders or the front in the collarbones or the breastbone, or you may not feel in particular places but just feel an ease and a lightness. And leave that, let your head find a restful place. And lie again on your left side, with your knees bent, of course, as before. And bring your right arm to the ceiling and back, and just do that a few times with the interesting question of that perhaps having worked lying on the right side with turning in the other direction, there's an even further improvement in this side. And if you're still using something behind your head or underneath your head, make sure that there's enough of it behind that your head doesn't hang perilously close to an edge. But maybe you need less, the softer the chest becomes, especially the upper back and the upper chest, the less we usually need behind or under the head. And and then stay with backwards to the right and put your, so your head is, your face is kind of more or less to the ceiling or a little bit more turned. No, it's fine. It can be a little bit more turned. Put your right hand behind your head so that you can sit. And begin to lift and lower your head a number of times, breathing out as you lift. See if you wanted to look over the right hip. Not in the direction of your knee, but really over your buttocks, right? Beyond your buttocks. And exhale, do it slowly, slowly. Remember that every time you come, your head comes back to the floor, to really let your weight settle, even though the arm is underneath the head, just really, so that the efforts that you use, and feel which ribs on the left press more into the floor. It depends also a little bit which direction you lift your head and how the ribs on the right side come closer to the pelvis or even closer to each other. And you may feel how the muscles on the right side between the chest and the pelvis work. So somehow the left side lengthens, the right side. So like a balloon that's inflated doesn't bend very well. So really deflate the balloon of the chest. That's good. Leave that. Leave your head. Leave your head on the floor. Bring your right arm to lie on the left one. So roll your left side again. And bring your right arm to the ceiling and further back behind, looking at the hand. Notice if if your hand touches the floor, I guess that's noticeable. That's notable. Notice if there's a notable difference. Well, it's kind of amazing. Move the chest and the head and everything's fine in another direction and boop. Yeah, and if your right knee lifts a little bit away from the left knee, that's okay. That's fine. Great. Good. Leave that and slowly roll to your back for a moment. And roll to your right side. Bring your left arm to the ceiling and back. And once or twice so that you can really distinguish to where the chest rolls easily. And to feel the left side rolling and the right side being rolled upon to assess whether your head is rolling or turning in the same spot, right? So rolling would mean that it really changes, like a tire rolling. It's the difference between a tire in the winter stuck on snow. It turns, right? But it spins in the same spot. That's why the car doesn't go anywhere. So the whole point is that a tire that rolls has to go along the road and not just turn in the same spot. Stay like this with the left arm behind. Put it behind your head, however is possible. And even without lifting your head yet, where's the left side of your pelvis? Where's below the bum on the left side, below the sitting bone, and lift and lower your head a number of times. But the words have been head and pelvis and bottom of pelvis, but it's really what happens in the middle between the top of the head or between the face, between the forehead and the pelvis that makes the difference. So it's the ribs, the exhalation through the chest, folding, the softening like an accordion on the right side. Maybe you feel that the right left side of the pelvis lifts a little bit towards, as if the waist shortens in both directions, pulling the ribs downward, pulling the left side of the pelvis upward. And which ribs on the right therefore go towards the floor? And that somehow maybe you can listen to the right and left side at the same time, where the right side turned as it is, lengthens, and the left side turns as it is, turns as it does, shortens. You breathe out. And then again, bring your left arm forward to lie on the right. Forward, lie on the right side. And bring the left arm to the ceiling and behind, letting your head roll like a tire in summer along the road. That's it. There you go. Yeah. And see if even in this direction, it's interesting to see one's more complex direction, which for some people, of course, will be to the left, some people will be to the right. But sometimes it's not an area referring back to how we think this shoulder, right? This shoulder has a problem, or this neck has a problem. But actually, it's something about the turning in that direction that's not clear through the whole of oneself, and some part announces that, and might be a shoulder, might be a side of the neck. And then we mistakenly think that the announcement is the whole situation. The messenger is the problem, not the message. Yeah, slowly, lie on your back and rest. Except in our case, you know, most people, like, don't kill the messenger, fix the messenger, and the messenger is trying to say, but no, I'm just the messenger. There's a whole situation you've got to address. Quiet, we're bandaging you up and fixing you up and giving you injections. I'm getting carried away, I shall stop. Roll your head from side to side. So I don't know, you know, as you continue through this process, or the improvements sort of petering out and getting smaller, or are they in fact getting larger? And if you repeat the same exploration or the same steps of an exploration, it might be different. Sometimes the biggest shift, the biggest fluidity, the biggest shift out of is into becoming happens at the beginning, and sometimes at the end, and sometimes kind of equally in between. Yeah. Great. Rolling can be very pleasurable, even when it's just rolling the head. Because it's not just the head. The head just starts something and is the most visible component. Would you pause that great pleasure and lie on your left side? Note as you place the hands on top of each other how they lie, if more easily the shoulders feel more comfortable, or good. And bring your right arm, of course, to the ceiling and backward, looking at it, and find where is a place where you can leave the arm hanging a bit backward like this. And maybe the right knee has come away a bit from the left, and that's okay. And in fact, leave the arm resting someplace and begin to lengthen your right knee forward. So you push the right hip forward and the knee lengthens forward along the angle that it's already lying. Right, so it's kind of forward and down, isn't it? Yeah. And just very, very lightly, and when you push your hip, when you push the hip forward, you notice probably at the beginning that the shoulder, the right shoulder, lifts a bit away from the floor. And can you
Can you find more and more how the hip can push forward, the knee can slide forward without having to take the shoulder forward? Or that they would take the shoulder less and less, so that the shoulder hangs back, that the chest, the upper chest hangs back. Maybe then the hip goes forward less. That's it. Maybe the hip goes forward less. Maybe the hip goes forward less. So that now we begin to, there'll be some rolling, but it's actually speaking more to the turning within the chest, to the turning of the spine. Not so much to the rolling of the left side of your ribs on the floor. There'll be a little bit of rolling, but the weight of the right arm, we're using the weight of the right arm to keep the chest from rolling. There you go. That's it. That's it. So you imagine that it pulls forward something deep inside the solar plexus. Kind of pulls forward and down as if a spiral could go through the inside of you now. Not so much rolling the casing of you as this inside. There you go. Beautiful. Lovely. Yeah. Great. Yeah. Uh-huh. And then bring the right arm forward again so that the right hand rests on the left. Pause a moment like this on the left side. And bring the right arm to the ceiling, let it hang back, find out how speaking to the spine from below has maybe affected something even more. Put your left hand behind your head. And lift your head with the help of your left hand as if you want to look over the right side of your pelvis, the back of the right side of your pelvis, a little bit, very little bit. It's a smaller movement than when you were lifting with the other hand. Very small. Much, much more difficult usually. Look at the right hip and down. Feel, breathe out. Feel which ribs on the left go more to the floor. Maybe the right side of the pelvis comes upward a bit. That's right, it's very small. And the left, the pelvis rolls a little bit on the left side. That's it. Easy. Just easy. Easy. And then interlace both hands behind your head. The elbows can come a bit forward. And lift your head with both arms. Keeping the twist. So it's as if the left elbow reaches a little bit more than the right one. That's it. Mm-hmm. The chin comes to the chest. The whole head tilts. That's it. The forehead tilts so that the neck is used as well. Good. Leave that. Take your hands out. Roll to your left side. Pause on the left side for a second. Yeah, and then one more time, take the right arm to the ceiling and back. Follow it with your eyes. And like a melody with variations or with embellishments, you can of course import, right? You can import things from that you've done within this exploration, so that as you take the arm backward and look, you can let the right side of the pelvis linger forward, or actually actively push forward a little bit, provided you can continue to breathe, right? So you can import an element from another part of this into this, so that you have the rolling, but you have the reminder that it's somehow also a turning within the spine, within the chest. that, of course, the eyes and the head speak to, but now you have a way of speaking from below, from the pelvis. And you can import also from other ATMs, which is you can close, if you're going to the right, you can close the right eye and look only with the left. And there'll be something in the brain, something in the wishes of the whole that your brain will say, oh, but I want to see as much as I saw with both eyes. And it will, to be able to follow that wish, somehow your brain will find a few more degrees of turn or a few more tenths of degrees of turn in the spine itself. Not so much in the rolling of your casing, which is important, casing, if you'd like to call it that. It's got a strange word. But somehow in the turning of the spine. So that then if you roll with, inhale, look with both eyes, or you'll find that those gained slight degrees of turning are yours to use even with both eyes open. And somehow the pushing of the knee forward, focuses the movement, again into the spine, in the middle back, in the chest, in the thoracics, and begins to take the pelvis more into a support position for standing. So by bringing the knee forward and down, you're beginning to embrace your future of standing, sitting. Lovely. Good. Leave that. Rest on your back for a moment. And of course, roll to your right side. Bring your left arm to the ceiling. Hand back. See how your head rolls. And the further back your chest is able to roll and your arm is able to go, the more the cushions behind your head will actually interfere with the easy turning of the spine. So once you are So then stay with your arm back, your head back, and begin to bring the left side of your pelvis forward in a way that the knee creeps at the angle as if you're going to, as if you would kneel, as if somebody were to put a surface that you could kneel on. And in the beginning, again, your left shoulder may lift from the floor, and that's because the movement of the pelvis, the rolling of the pelvis, right? Pelvis rolls more onto the right side, wants to roll all of you. But using the weight of the left arm backward, allows your brain to find, oh, it's not just about rolling, it's also about a turning in the middle, turning in the chest, in the spine. There'll still be some rolling, but and slowly what begins to dawn inside is how to do that.
And then you can place your left hand behind your head and lift and lower your head, looking over the left side of your pelvis, somewhere along the side seam, so not forward over to the left knee, but really over the bones you would sit on at the bottom of the pelvis. Breathing out. Tilting the face. Good. All right. Yeah, that's great. And then leave the left arm long and put the right hand behind your head. And lift with the right hand. Sort of a silly thought that you could actually turn enough that the right shoulder could lift from the floor. And again, you can import anything. So you can see whether it's possible, right? It's kind of more complex already. But if it's possible to bring the left side of the pelvis forward so that the left knee, as if you were going to kneel, it'll be a much smaller movement and it will be much higher in the chest, and that'll be a good thing. So we have to let it be smaller, right? Smaller, because the lower ribs will be busy with taking the knee downward. There you go. That's it. Sometimes it's recognizing that something will be smaller but more fully targeted someplace. Interlace both hands behind your head. If you'd like, you can lift your head. Different ribs in the back, different parts of the back will press. And once you realize that somehow the breastbone can turn, the chest can turn, the shoulders can turn as if to the left, the pelvis as if to the right, throwing in more advanced kinds of things, you can play with it. But lie on the right side. Yeah, so bring yourself to lie on the right side. Feel how the hands lie on top of each other, whether you feel like you have to pull the left shoulder so that the hands can lie, or whether it's just there. And then lastly, bring the left arm to the ceiling and behind, let your head roll, feel how that is. And if you decide to add the lengthening of the left knee downward as if you're going to kneel, sometimes when we add these things, we have to be prepared to know where movement might diminish. So, I don't know, if you're rolling, in a way you're rolling less, right? You're turning more by a dishcloth effect, by wringing out a dishcloth, bringing the pelvis forward, left side of the pelvis forward, the left shoulder backwards, so it takes the movement more inside into the spine, so that, you know, maybe the shoulder will still go as far back, but it'll be because you found a way to turn inside the chest rather than just roll with the chest and the pelvis. Or you can look with the right eye more than with the left. You can even close the left eye. Mm-hmm. just depends how many elements you can coordinate in thought so the thought doesn't disrupt the quality of the movement, but actually enhances it. So the quality is primary in the thought serves the quality. Great. Lovely. Roll to your back. And is your state more as you feel it, you want it to be, or think that it should be, or wish that it could be? It's kind of an extraordinary thing with this Feldenkrais work that things do become more of what they can be. So we don't have to push for what we think they should be. So a could is actually much more compelling than a should, and much more workable as well. So there are the contacts, the spaces, the lengths, the places of presence, breath, in directions, sideways, forwards, backwards. Mouth and face. And of course you can roll your head if you'd like, or eventually come to stand and with your you will come to stand, but with the same kind of listening, that something is still being discovered, something still being reorganized, not just checking up on something that's complete, something that can continue and evolve.